Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor, okay, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Arrington.
That was weird. Yep. I felt like I had to do that properly for once, because we built it up.
Yeah.
Built it up to image.
Always happens.
How you doing?
I was going to wear my mustard hoodie, but I thought I'd have too much yellow on today, so I didn't want to clash with you or me. I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
You've colour code, yeah. I'm good. I like that you've colour matched your hat to your t-shirt. Was that on purpose?
It looks the same on the video, but it's kind of different. The yellow's a lot darker on my t-shirt than it is on my hat. So, you know, it wasn't, like that, is it? How you doing? How you doing in lockdown?
I don't know if I was getting a bit ill or I felt like I was getting a bit ill. So today I've had a massive chill day. I've done a few bits around the house, but mostly reading some comics, watching some films, playing some games, just having a me day.
Do you feel better for it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes soft reset. Better.
Yeah, man.
I like to have like a scalding hot bath when I feel like that, and then I kind of get out and I feel like I'm reborn. I feel like I'm come out the Lazarus pit.
Mate, I don't... Batman reference. I try not to have baths because they make me more tired. Like, if I have a bath, it's too relaxing. It's too relaxing. I can't. Yeah. I'm going to have a nap. No matter what I've got on for the rest of the day, I've got to go have a nap after a bath.
Yeah. I feel like that's one thing I need to start doing now in lockdown. And obviously, I'm aware I'm aware that based on my career, I'm very lucky that I'm allowed to. It's being urged that I just stay home all day and do what I want. I'm lucky, and I'm forever grateful for the people who are out there still working. But I'm introducing naps into my daily life.
You feel like you've got I know you have, but do you feel like you've got more time?
I've still been working from home, so like I still feel like I'm keeping to a certain level.
Oh, I thought you'd been routine. Now I thought they'd stopped you from working.
Starts tomorrow. So
tomorrow is when you'll go crazy. You should fill your house up with mirrors. Fill your house with mirrors and wave every time you see yourself, just to give yourself that. Oh, hey, mate.
I'll be sick of the sight of myself. I'll be like, who's that smarmy git in my house? All right.
Yeah. Well, change your clothes every time before you go between mirrors, and then you'll think it's someone else.
That's a lot of effort. That's one thing I've not been, you know, changing my clothes. Socks are getting at least 2 days' worth of wears currently.
Yeah. Yeah, well, same.
Especially
I always do that.
Especially a good pair of socks that, like, you know is a nice, comfy, good-fitting pair of socks.
Mm-hmm,
2 days out of them. Pants, maybe 2 days if I'm feeling frisky.
No.
That out.
I don't want any of that residue. Two-day-old residue.
No. Yeah. Nobody knows. If nobody knows but you, then...
But I know, and that's the key point. I don't care if someone else thought I was... You've had those pants on for 2 days, mate. I don't care. I wouldn't care as long as I knew I hadn't. maybe I'd be like, bit. I don't know. No, I'd be fine. You wear those pants over a week, can't you? I bet you have.
You, I could tell. I could hear them rustling. Like old leaves. Very nice.
Sounds like you're treading through snow. Right, okay. What you been? We've got any news? I guess the main news is the Stuart Gordon news.
Which we did less. Yeah, so obviously Stuart Gordon passed away, and this is obviously relevant to why we're doing today's episode. But obviously, amazing director, the horror genre, adaptations of the film we're discussing today, Reanimator, also films like From Beyond, Dolls, Castle Freak, Robot Jocks, Pit in the Pendulum, Fortress. I mean, I'm not seeing a lot of these, but I'm aware. I'm aware of the man's work.
Here's what you have seen that will be your biggest Stuart Gordon film, I think. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. He co-created it and was supposed to direct it, but he got ill before the film started. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is formative for me. That's a big one.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was a
A little one.
Probably some horror elements in that as well, right? There's loads of scary stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty scary concept as well, you know? Just a giant ant, although they do befriend the ant in the end.
Giant biscuits. I remember those bits.
I didn't think I'd seen Reanimator before, but I was familiar with loads of it. So I think maybe I have, but I think I've seen From Beyond as well, but can't be 100% sure.
They're the only three Gordon films I've seen, and I feel very bad about it. But they've left massive impressions, I'll tell you that. Especially From Beyond.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So that's obviously why we're reviewing Reanimator today. Another death in the world of horror. The Exorcist and The Shining composer, Krzysztof Penderecki, has passed away. He passed away this week. So obviously just like the score for both of those films. Not including The Exorcist main theme. Tubular Bells.
Have you heard the rest of Tubular Bells? 11 seconds
it's absolutely insane. It just goes on. It's just like, oh yeah, Exorcist. Wait, what? What's going on now? But yeah, his work is featured all over the place. Twin Peaks, Shutter Island, Black Mirror, Ready Player One.
Wow.
Children of Men. So I think I don't think he necessarily scored all those things, but he must have been involved somehow, or like themes he'd written. Can I just ask you a question about, while it's in my head now, or can I ask you a question about Reanimator?
Yeah.
The soundtrack.
Oh, right, yeah.
Anything sound familiar to you?
It sounds very familiar, but I'm not too sure what it is. It kind of really made me think of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I swear, the opening credits has a similar...
So, I don't know whether this is... But it sounds so much like the Psycho soundtrack.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, it's meant to be. It's meant similar to, be, right? It's meant to be similar to.
Okay. So the similarities are intentional. He used it as a base. Because for a while, I was like, "Hang on a minute, is that allowed?"
It's cool though, isn't it? The music, I think, it hits the tone of the film, I think, perfectly. It makes me think of crazy horror, but comedy. Over the top horror comedy.
The only other bit of news I've got other than that is that films are being pushed back, which obviously I guess we knew was going to happen. But, you know, really big tentpole movies are getting moved by a lot.
So also,
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to come out in July. Now it's being moved to March next year. Morbius with Jared Leto, July this year to March as well. The Uncharted movie, which has been stuck in production hell, was going to come out in March 2021. That's been moved to 2021 October. I'm just reading the list here. What are you going to say?
The Odeon Limitless thing has been moved to, they've halted payments of that. So I'm not too sure if that's going to ruin the business any quicker. I don't know. I don't know what Odeon are going to do. I'm very worried about my cinemas right now.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, but I guess so many companies and so many different industries are in the same sort of position. Who's to say? So obviously we saw before that the Bond film, Mulan, Black Widow, Fast and the Furious. Basically, we're just going to get a month where everything's released every single day.
Yeah, it'd be weird. I don't know what's going to happen.
No, we'll have to see. Also, I did want to bring up the fact that it was over a week ago, but we didn't discuss it on last week's episode, is that Final Destination turned 20.
Hey, we've got to do that. We've got to do that soon.
We need to do Final Destination. Okay, let's get that in the diary for something to do in the future. I think the screenwriter released the original treatment and the script online recently for people to download and enjoy, which is pretty cool. I'm always interested in stuff like that. So,
cool.
Apparently, it was an X-Files episode or an idea for an X-Files episode.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I read that somewhere, yeah.
Yeah. So I had the working title Flight 180 originally, but then became that. Yeah, pretty cool.
It would work as an X-Files episode as well, I think, that concept.
Yeah. Yeah, fair. Cool.
So,
have you watched anything? Go on.
Yeah, okay. So, well, I've seen a few things. The Tiger King was the big thing that everyone's talking about. It's not horror. It's kind of got some horror in it, I guess.
Well, it's got like a murder mystery, or, you know, murder plot. Interesting stuff.
It's about a guy called a private tiger zoo owner in... is he in Florida? No, he's...
Yeah. No. So he was in... somewhere. Missouri?
Missouri.
Somewhere.
Okay.
No, Iowa, wasn't it? Iowa.
One of them. In America. And he is a gay, polygamous, tiger zoo owning...
Tiger zoo owning, politician, gun-toting, mullet-having, eyebrow-pierced...
Country singer.
Recording artist, former cop.
Oh, yeah.
What else?
He's a eccentric, crazy guy. And he's maybe not the worst of them. Because they're all kind of insane, all the Tiger Zoo owners. But yeah, this program is insane. I mean, it's got the murder mystery thing really had me wrapped. But it's funny as well. It's sad. And
yeah, it's a really good... It reminded me, in a way, of like Making a Murderer, even though Making a Murderer is very serious.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the reason it reminded me of that is because it was just kind of like it seemed like a simple plot, but as each episode unraveled, it kind of all these different secrets came out and all these
like
different
a soap
things.
Opera.
It was like a soap opera, yeah. A redneck soap opera. So, a great way to distract yourself, you know, if you're worried about the world and real life. Great way to kind of plunge. I don't really binge stuff, but I find myself watching it in just one weekend.
Yeah, I watched it fairly quickly too. It's just like one of those ones you can't stop. Is a binger. It's a big binger. I think a lot of people have seen Tiger King though. It seems to be the thing that everyone's talking about.
If you haven't seen it, definitely recommend it.
All right, you take one. What have you seen? Because I've seen quite a few. So.
Ooh. What have I seen? So I watched a few of the streaming films this week. I can't remember what I've spoken about last. Have I said about Bloodshot?
No, you
haven't. Well, I saw Bloodshot with Vin Diesel. I was going to go to the cinema to see it just before all this stuff kicked off. It was pretty generic. It was pretty predictable. Some of the CGI was a bit odd. There was definitely some like weird de-aging CGI happening in scenes where like de-aging wasn't supposed to be, if that makes sense.
They do it so often, they do it by accident now.
Vin Diesel looked so smooth and weird. He looked like a cue ball. and there was some dubbing of like dialogue as well. There were people say stuff and I'm like, what? What's going
on
here?
It's a bit sad because, so I'm a big fan of the Valiant comic book universe and I really wanted them to sort of it out of the park, but I knew as soon as Bloodshot was going to be the first comic they were going to do, I knew that it's a hard sell, and also that first arc, which it looks like they've taken this film plot from, is super generic. Like it's after that point that things start to get more interesting.
But I think in a world where Upgrade already exists, it's already like going up against it. Some of the CGI was a bit, in the fight scenes looked a bit weird as well. It looked a bit Spider-Man early 2000s, you know, when there's like fight scenes and you can see it's just wobbly.
I don't think it's got huge budget. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. That. I watched I watched the film that might be one of my new favorite films. It's like it's been on my list for a little while. It's kind of low budget. It seems like a guy is independently financed himself, and he's kind of made it with some like actor friends and that kind of thing. It's called Dave Made a Maze, but it's great. So what's it about? So a girl has been away for the weekend, and she comes back to find her partner or fiance. I can't remember. Over the weekend, instead of doing housework or whatever, he's built like a fort out of cardboard boxes in the living room, and he's somewhere inside, and he says, "I can't find my way out." And every time, like, she starts to like shake it, it sounds like she's like the whole. It sounds a lot bigger than it actually is, and he said it's a lot bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. So then she invites a ton of people around, and so far I was like, "This is a quirky, fun idea." But then there's about 20 people, and they all go into the cardboard fort to try and find him. And on the inside, the maze is massive, and there's like origami animals that are alive in there. There's like a minotaur that's made of cardboard, like chasing everyone around. And it's like it's still kind of quirky, fun. It feels a bit Michel Gondry, but maybe not quite as arty farty. Like it's genuinely funny. There's loads of good lines. But then there's like a horror element to it as well. There's a guy who gets a paper cut near the start on the cardboard side. And the blood drops onto the cardboard, and everyone looks at it, and then the cardboard drinks the blood, like sucks it into it, and then from there you realize, oh, this is kind of weird. And then people start dying. There's those cardboard booby traps that like someone gets impaled on cardboard tubes. Someone gets like this, like circular saws that come out of a wall. So it's got like an Indiana Jones but cardboard sort of vibe to it.
Minotaur looks terrifying.
It's funny, weird, punky, like really punky. You could tell they were just like having a massive laugh when they were making it. It kind of drags a little bit towards like the like two thirds of the way in, but it ends well. It's, I don't know, man. It's just like it hits all the notes that I want in this kind of film. Like it's a Charlie Kaufman-esque sort of thing, but it's nowhere near. It doesn't take itself seriously. It's as if James Gunn made a Charlie Kaufman film.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
looks really good, man. I didn't know it, but just from looking at it now, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a good one. What about you?
So I watched a film called The House of the Devil. I'm not sure if you've seen this. It's currently on. It's on Amazon Prime, so it's like a really... It leans heavily... It's made made in 2009, but it leans heavily into like the classic 70s aesthetic. Hard to say what it's about without spoiling anything, but a young woman takes a job babysitting. That's pretty much it. Babysitting in a weird big house with some weird people in.
Is she babysitting a baby, or is it like an old woman?
It's like an old woman, yeah. Baby. It's a baby old woman. So it's like a really good homage to like this era of horror films with the aesthetic it's going for. But I wasn't particularly drawn in by the story, and I think by the final third or like the finale. Feels a bit generic again, and it was a really good slow burn up until that, but then sort of when things kick off, I'm a bit like, okay, well, this isn't particularly interesting. But in terms of the style, I like it, and probably worth checking out.
And it like leaned all the way into that style. Like it could have been a 70s
easily. And there's a cameo from Dee Wallace as well at the start. Dee Wallace from Cujo, E.T., The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah. Huh? The Howling, I think she said it.
The Howling, in The Howling. Frighteners, Critters. So horror royalty.
Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name who made that. Ty Woods or something like that. He made...
Ty West.
Ty West, that's the one. Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods made it. Tiger Woods,
he knocked it out of the park, which is the wrong thing, the wrong sport. That's how you know you're playing golf bad.
How many films has he made?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's the joke? Go on.
Four.
That's good.
Oh, yes. I'll see my stuff, mate.
Yeah. you know, the problem with this film there by Tiger Woods is that there's a plot hole in one scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, yeah? Is there? There's a plot hole in one scene. I got you, mate.
That's pushing it.
He also directed Cabin Fever 2.
That's
not a joke. That's true. And he did some bits in VHS and ABC's of Death. And
Yeah. He's part of that whole crew, I think.
Make something called The Innkeepers as well. I think we recommended that in the group when I said something about it.
Yeah. Okay, so another one I watched, which is it's streaming on all four at the minute. It's called A Dark Song. Have you seen that one? A dark song. I feel like you'd like it. Yeah, A Dark Song. It's got Steve Oram in it. From Sightseers.
I recognize this poster.
So this film is set in Wales, I believe. And it's about a woman who's lost her kid. Some ritualistic sacrifice that they'd stole a kid and done a terrific sacrifice on him. So she's now going to do her own ritual with the help. I think she's paid Steve Oram, not the actor, but the character he's playing. She's paid him like $80,000 to come and perform this ritual with her. That they can't go outside the salt line outside the house, but you go all through these different, got to drink blood, they've got to do all these kind of different things. And it's not like a one night affair. It goes on for months, this ritual. And the idea is that it allows you to talk to your guardian angel. And then you can sort of make requests from them, and she wants revenge. But like for the longest time, it feels like there's nothing supernatural about it at all. But Steve Oram's, I guess he's like a priest sort of guy. His character is just full on abusive. Like he makes her do sexual things. He throws cold water on her when she's trying to sleep. He forces her to clean the pots. Like he's like completely like a bit. He's a bit Doc Antle, you could say.
Serious wronging.
But then I don't want to spoil it, but things do happen. And the last...
Wait a minute. That's a spoiler.
The last... things do happen. The last 20 minutes are pretty fantastic. Fantastical. But yes, it's hard going for the first 45 minutes. It's in like grueling, but it's worth it. It's a good one.
Nice. I went and revisited World War Z, mainly based on the current standards of the world, where there is zombies are loose. You know, if you knew, zombies are loose.
Yeah,
and they're right there. I think, I don't think this is a film that gets enough credit. Like, as an adaptation of the book, like it's a bit. I mean, it's not really an adaptation of the book, is it? It's kind of an adaptation of the idea of the book.
But, never read the book, so.
Okay, well, the book is more like in the aftermath of the World War Z, and like survivors who kind of talk about how it happened, how. Different corners of the world dealt with it, how the media dealt with it, how presidents and, well, like everyone. Mm-hmm. But as a pandemic movie, I think it kind of does a lot really well, because it is like a huge action blockbuster, which I guess we haven't really had with zombies before, have we? Like a huge action blockbuster.
Not in I've never seen the flooding of zombie.
No. And that's kind of insane. Like initially, I remember when I didn't really like the idea of that, but in this film, it really does feel like a constant threat.
It's like a tidal wave of them washing over.
I think the final, there's some really good stuff in this. Like when they go to South Korea, like it's at night, it's raining, they're at this like air base. That's all really good. I think the final third of the film, which is like at the World Health Organization in Cardiff, which was a reshoot, because apparently the first ending didn't test all that well with audiences. I think that's really good. It really takes the pace, like just takes the pace right down, and just makes the threat seem just a lot more. They focus on the threat a lot more, and I think Brad Pitt is really good in it.
Mm.
Like his character, he's not like a sort of buff action guy or like a soldier or a mercenary or anything like that. He's like a reporter dude, isn't he? Not a reporter, like a, what do you say? He's like a United Nations investigator dude.
Okay, it's been a long time since I've seen this one.
Okay,
I remember thinking it was pretty good though.
And yeah, I think it's pretty good. Yeah, and a lot of the stuff in terms of like a fast spreading virus and seeing how the globe reacts to it, seeing as we're seeing how it happens in real time now, it seems really realistic. You know, different, some countries reacting different than others, some countries treating it as a major threat while other countries don't treat it as a major threat, some countries seemingly one step ahead of it, which I think maybe we've been fed a little bit by the media now. Oh no, yeah. It ain't turned up here. Yeah, they knew it was coming, didn't they? There's a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Conspiracy theorists would love it, I reckon. But yeah, I recommend going back to it, giving it a rewatch.
Is it streaming anywhere? Do you know?
I've got it on Blu-ray, so that's why I watched it. So streaming directly from disc, mate. No, I don't know. It's probably somewhere, isn't it? I'm sure it's on something like Amazon Prime. Seems
we
like
could
kind of thing,
get you to screen share over Zoom.
Yeah,
you'll watch it exactly through your eyes. Yeah, man, it's I'll give that another go. I'd be interested to watch that again.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna watch something like Contagion yet.
Okay, it's too close to home.
Might be a bit too close to home. Yeah, but maybe I don't know. I do like Punishment.
Yeah. Oh, mate, you know, nearly forgot. Just before we sort of started getting the notes together for this episode, I was watching Swamp Thing, the DC TV show. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, no.
Stuck on one episode.
I haven't really seen any of the DC stuff.
Well, I saw The Flash and I was like, this is all right, but it's very cheesy pie. The practical physical effects that I saw in this first episode were insane. Like, it's like Thing level of they had like these two corpses in this morgue. I don't think they're even corpses, they were infected by something, and they had like swampy vines sort of coming out of them and stuff, but then the swampy vines like started tearing these people apart, and it looked so good in like a sort of a horrific sort of way. I mean, like, this was cancelled. The season was cancelled and the series on the premiere of the first episode. I have a feeling that someone, some big head, giant head executive, watched the first few scenes and were like, fuck it out. What we're putting this out?
Cancel it.
Just got like a big red button on his desk. Can you press that one? Yeah. And they immediately cancelled the show. Yeah, this... I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it. It's still got some cheesy pie moments because it's like a superhero TV show. But if it goes the way that the Alan Moore, there's a specific issue of Alan Moore Swamp Thing that's got a really horrible horror idea behind it. If it goes that way, then I think, this would be good. I'm gonna enjoy it.
Lovely. Yeah. I think of all of the DC shows, that's one that I kind of felt tempted to watch because it didn't seem as cheesy pie, maybe as the other stuff. So
yeah.
Interesting.
You got a thoughts?
I guess we were going to talk about the Predator trial.
Oh yeah, yeah.
PS4 game Hunting Grounds.
Yeah.
Hunting Grounds. Yeah, which pardon me, just did a dirty belch. So it's just obviously a little multiplayer game where you can either be like a crew of mercenaries, or you can be the Predator, and you've got to like kill some drug dealers, or you've got to kill the mercenaries as a Predator. It took me a long time to find a game, so I guess that there was quite a lot of demand for it.
Yeah, so all the servers were struggling.
Did all the mercenaries, when you played multiplayer, did they all look the same?
I feel like there's like... So the way you get in a match, and you're supposed to pick your mercenary, I guess your type of mercenary. I couldn't work out how to change who I was, we all ended up... The same person. Yeah.
I think maybe that was done on purpose, or maybe they hadn't implemented that into it yet.
Did you get to play as the Predator?
No. And I tried.
I didn't. I don't know if you could.
I tried.
Go on.
No. I tried a few times to match and hopefully find something where I could be the predator, but no, I was a mercenary each time. It looks a bit basic, doesn't it? It looked a bit PS2, didn't it?
Yeah. We only played like 3 games. The first one is basically the opening of the first film. Like, you go into the jungle, do a couple of small missions in the jungle, you take out some mercenaries, plant some cocaine, or there's some weird stuff going on. And then about 3 minutes in, you'll start seeing the camouflaged predator jumping around the trees, or you'll hear him, or your heartbeat will go up. There's a couple of matches. The first one, I was there for 10 minutes, and then within seconds, this predator found us all, annihilated us within seconds. Like, he was just way overpowered.
Yeah.
The second time we played it, we saw him on top of the trees, and it was amazing. It genuinely felt like everyone was like shooting towards the trees, looking for him and stuff. And then the third one, again, we got annihilated. If you do the tutorial, you play as a predator in the tutorial, and that seems like a really fun game, playing as a predator. Because you're sort of climbing around the trees or Spider-Man style and stuff. Yeah,
it's good. A bit like Friday the 13th when you're Jason?
I'd never played that one. I played Dead by Daylight. Which is a similar one.
It's probably similar sort of thing, yeah.
That one was good. It's difficult if you're the serial killer.
Yeah. So Resident Evil week as well this week. So Resident Evil 3 is out on Friday, and Resident Evil Resistance, the beta, is up now, which I played a little bit of. Need to play a little bit more. But that's a similar sort of role where you can either be a survivor or you can be like the mastermind where you like set traps and...
I think it's a popular type of gaming now, isn't it? It's fun. Is it 4v1v4? Yeah. I'm excited.
So that should be pretty cool. Be a cool little week. Perfect time for it as well. Plenty of time to plow into it.
We've got one more film to talk about before we go into it. Unless you've got more as well, I don't know.
Nope.
Okay, this film was sold to me as one of the most weirdest, bizarre films that you could watch. I was like, yeah, I've seen my fair share of weird films, don't worry. It's called The Boxer's Omen. I don't know if you want to have a quick Google. Just Google The Boxer's Omen, as in like box fighter. And there was like a market that opened up for Chinese black magic films. This film is about a boxer, a kickboxer, who's also a Buddhist monk, fighting in a sort of a magic war against like an evil magician. Most of the film is about them casting spells on each other. But the way they do it, it's so gory. And like, it's just weird and interesting to watch. There's like little, they like bite. Oh my God, there's one bit that's really difficult to stomach. There's like 3 evil magicians. They're like shoving food into the mouths. And they're like, they pick up a chicken, like a live chicken. They bite his butt off. And then they munch up the butt, put it into a paste, and then eat it again. And then he puts it in the paste, spits it out, gives it to his mate. He does the same thing, starts eating and mushing it up. There's so much gore. There's a bit where they rip open an alligator's stomach and they put a woman inside for some sort of spell. It's hilarious. But it's also really zippy. Like, you feel like a lot of these kind of films are really slow. But this film really zips along. It's really entertaining to watch. And the Buddhist powers are usually gold. Whenever the Buddhist... Or like there's bits where... like Buddhist writing will start appearing on his body. It's like a late 80s music video sort of effects. But mate, it's I'll never forget it. That's a weird aspect.
I'll never forget it. When did you watch this? Did you watch this alone?
No, the other night we had a bit of a movie night thing going on. The best spell, like the bad guy's losing. This is about halfway through the film. The bad guys are losing. And he sticks like sewing knitting needles into his neck, and his head pops off and starts floating towards the Buddhist monk kickboxer. And all the, like the veins and tentacular veins sticking out start wrapping around the guy's throat, and he has to sort of fight off this floating head. Man, it's amazing. It was really it was something else. The Boxer's Omen. Yeah,
it does sound pretty damn mental.
It's very, very, very difficult to get a hold of. So I had to use a cheeky online stream to watch it. But I don't know yet. I don't know if it's...
Maybe you'll get a curse on you.
Maybe
a magician will make some needles go into your neck.
I think you should watch it.
Okay.
I don't know if you enjoy it. But yeah, it's weird. Yeah, other than that, I'll Reanime, which I actually watched this morning.
Oh, okay. You did. I actually watched it last night. So it should be pretty damn fresh. Okay, so Reanimator, also known as H.P. Lovecraft's Reanimator, is a 1985 horror comedy film loosely based on the 1922 serial novelette Herbert West Reanimator, directed by Stuart Gordon, produced by Brian Yuzna. It stars Jeffrey Combs as Herbert West, a medical student who has invented a reagent which can reanimate deceased bodies. Also stars Bruce Abbott, Barbara Crampton, David Gale, amongst others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just realized I haven't got the ratings up, but I'll get those in a second. It's like a crazy, it definitely feels like it fits in the Dead Alive, Evil Dead category of horror movies, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of similar stuff in those in terms of practical effects.
Yeah.
And that sort of tongue-in-cheek sort of knowing comedy that they've got, and the over-the-top nature in the characters, but also like
the gore. Effects,
the gore. It's all pretty mad stuff. Did we get a sequel to this? We did, right?
Yeah, it's Beyond Reanimator. I've not seen it. Beyond Bride, and
Bride of Reanimator, and Beyond Reanimator is the third and final installment, 2003.
It's quite recent, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the ratings.
Well, it's quite recent. It came out last year.
3.8 on Letterboxd, which is decent. Actually, better than I thought it'd be. Decent. Rotten Tomatoes, 93%.
Wow.
The audience score is 82, which is still decent.
Oh, very
good. Yeah, this film's got tons of, I put here, tons of gore and ooze, decapitations and dead things coming back to life, and a fair bit of the old rubber tango. I mean, there's some bits where people are sort of being attacked by not animated things and trying to make it look animated.
Yeah, there's loads of that. It was good. It reminded me of like Evil Dead, but also like Brain Dead as well a little bit.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah.
In terms of like the gooey, like these bright colors as well, and garish tones, and blood and gunk and goo, and
yeah,
naked scary looking bodies.
It's I think if you were going to put on a triple bill, I think this along with those two films would be kind of perfect out of all of them. You know, I wouldn't have said this a few years ago, but Dead Alive, I think, is my go-to for this type of film now.
Yeah.
It would have always been Evil Dead 2, but I don't know anymore. I don't know.
I think I've seen Evil Dead 2 too many times.
I think that's what it is.
I think I've overdone it. I've seen it. Whereas I think, as I mentioned earlier, like I'm really familiar with certain elements of this, but I was convinced I hadn't seen it, but maybe I have, but maybe I haven't. I'll never know, but I've seen it now. So,
yeah. So it's, yeah, I don't know. It's, I don't know what to really say about it apart from getting to the plot. I mean, it is what it is. It's, I think it's a Stuart Gordon's first film. It doesn't feel like it's, I don't know. I was going to say, it doesn't feel like it's got quite the budget of The Evil Dead and Dead Alive, but I don't think that's true because those films are made on a pittance, right? It doesn't feel as big anyway.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. They're not that many. There are only a few sort of areas.
Locations.
A few locations. A few areas where they stand. There's a few locations. Like, yeah. And it seems pretty small film, but I don't know, like the scale of it, I thought was pretty good. Like the characters were all really good and engaging. Everyone was interesting. You kind of were rooting for certain people and hating other people.
Jeffrey Combs is pretty spot on. I've never, did you read the Lovecraft novella? I've not myself.
No, I never have.
It feels weird knowing, like reading the Lovecraft stuff that I have read. It feels weird to think that he could have inspired something as ludicrous as this. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Jeffrey Combs is kind of, it looks like his hair, you know, when that spray on hair people have. It looks like he's got that going on, although it doesn't.
John Travolta hair.
John Travolta hair, yeah. He's a weird animated face, Jeffrey Combs.
He's got a face where he's almost like he's on the precipice of saying something very, 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 very intense every single second.
Yeah.
He's got something going on upstairs in the old brain box.
But he's also twitching at the same time. Lots of face twitches. Yeah.
So Bruce Abbott, who plays Dan Cain, is like the straight guy, guy who's like the moral compass for the film. And then Barbara Crampton as his girlfriend, Megan. I thought she was really good in this.
Yeah.
I've seen her in a few things over the years, like Chopping Mall, and I know she's in From Beyond as well, but I watched her recently in You're Next.
I don't know if she was in You're Next, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
She, well, those three people, Jeffrey Combs, Bruce Abbott, and Barbara Crampton, they play like the core, either younger kids in Miskatonic University. And they're all, they've got a really good dynamic. I think they do a great job. They feel like real people. Which sometimes like doesn't.
The stakes are sort of high for everybody, except maybe Herbert West.
Well,
he's a bit of a rogue. He's chaos in this.
His life and death stakes are like his reputation or getting his discovery out into the world.
Yeah.
There's also
the film.
Go on.
Yeah, go on. So you're sorry. You do the other characters. So David Gale.
There's Dr. Carl Hill. He's the head of neuroscience of brain surgery in
and May, we're pretty sure he's got some sort of superpower, right?
So later on when he realizes that if he lobotomizes people he can who found the reagent.
Yeah,
I mean it's a bit stupid but
it is a bit stupid, yeah. But in a film where you should be suspending your disbelief, like there are a few times in this film where I went, would that happen? And then I thought, wait a minute, stop it. Stop it now. And then we've got Robert Sanson as Dean Alan Halsey, who is Megan's dad. And he's like who's he, like a head professor or somebody like that?
He's the dean, isn't he, I think?
The dean, that's it.
So all this takes place with Miskatonic University.
In my head there, I was like, his name's Dean. His name's Dean?
Dean Lerner.
But this film pretty much gets started like from the get-go, doesn't it?
Yeah, so we open at Herbert West's previous universities in Zurich, and he's brought back someone called Hans Gruber, another professor, back to life, and is, oh yeah, super gory, forgot about this. So his eyes pop out. This guy's like losing his mind, he's sort of wobbling around, and Herbert West, he's sort of dancing around him, trying to, I don't know, he's very animated, and he's trying to hold him down. But it's all great.
His name's Hans Gruber, as in...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Die Hard. What's going on there? Have they just gone, right, we need...
We need a German name.
German name.
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
Well, that was an interesting point. you make. I wonder what thematic, why, you know, thematically they put that in there to make us think of Die Hard. Death is a big theme, obviously.
Well, this was before Die Hard, isn't it? Exactly. So Die Hard essentially put a name in there to make us think of
Reanimator.
Reanimator.
Yeah. Well, so Herbert West gets expelled from this university because they think he killed. It's weird because they think he killed him. Surely he should be in prison if that's the case. But, yeah, but I guess there's no proof.
And he says, "I gave him life."
So I guess that.
And they go, "You're expelled."
We just expelled you
for giving him life.
Yeah, that's against the rules. and then so he goes to Miskatonic University, which is a big, big in Lovecraft. Always seems to show up. People are always making crazy discoveries there. In New England, again, Lovecraft. Mm-hmm. Herbert West, he shows up in a few Lovecraft stories, interestingly.
He loves it.
So he goes to the university. We're introduced to Dan. He's a bit of a jock, but he's also... Oh, he's trying to bring someone back to life at the start. He's pumping their chest. They can't...
Yep.
They're not getting any signs, and he dies. Dan's not very good, I guess, at bringing people back to life.
Bless him. Then he takes the body to the morgue, and we see like he's a bit queasy when it comes to dead bodies, and he's get that hand away from me.
Yeah, is that because his job is to take things to the morgue? He's got a part-time job as a morgue transporter. There's also like the security guard. He's like a jive talking black man.
The security guard's a bit like, oh, another dead body, eh? Imagine a banner every day with him. Oh, another dead body, is it? They just keep on coming. Another dead body, or he's a lively one. You know what I mean? He's very he's got a one liner for everything, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. Good guy, that guy. Good guy.
He's a good guy.
So Herbert West arrives at university. Instantly he's got beef with Dr. Carl Hill, who's the head of the department. He's like saying the brain ceases to have thought 6 to 12 minutes after the body dies. And Herbert West, I think he said it's longer. It's like 12 to 13 minutes, I think you'll find. But it's like a weird...
It's 12 minutes, 4 seconds.
There's a weird protest when Dr. Hill says it's 6 to 12 minutes, repeats it, 6 to 12 minutes. And then Finney just starts breaking pencils. It's got like a unseen collection of pencils. He just starts snapping them.
Somebody breaking pencils in my class?
Yeah. So then what's his face? Moves into Dan's apartment. But he's like...
Yeah. So then we're introduced to Dan. He was in a relationship with Megan. I was a bit confused really at the start because she was talking about like, you know, he'll be angry if I get home late. I thought she was married and maybe Dan was having an affair with her, but no, it's her dad, the Dean, Alan Halsey, who likes to go by just Dean. Dino! they're in a relationship. Dan's like really into her. He's like wants her to move in and stuff, but she's a bit like, not into it, mate. And when she goes to leave, Herbert West turns up and he wants to rent Dan's room.
Dan's room. Dan's I want to rent your room.
Listen, mate. I've seen your room and it's bigger than the one you're advertising, so I want to rent it. All right.
Yeah.
Like, shift out.
And the basement. He wants that as well.
Yeah, he gets the basement as well as his own personal laboratory. Do they agree on that before he moves in, or does he just?
Well, I don't know if he says this has a basement. I don't know if he said it's mine, but he gets it.
I want it.
Yeah, so I guess the next bit is the cat.
Yeah, so there's obviously a lot more stuff where there's a bit where Megan is talking to Dan about Herbert. So obviously they've been living together for a while now, and he says like that they never see him, and when they do see him, he stares and various things like that. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Well, so there's also, there's a bit as well where Barbara Crampton goes to her dad with Dan and they're like saying, we're going to go on a date, a study date.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Hill's there and he says like really weird pervy stuff. right in front of Dean, Daddy Dean, he's like, I'm obsessed with you. Like, what? He says something like, you can't not be obsessed with your daughter or something. Like, he's, yeah. It's weird.
A bit Donald Trump, isn't it? When Donald Trump says, didn't Donald Trump say at one point, like, oh, if I'd be dating my daughter. Was that supposed to be Donald Trump? I don't know where that came from.
It was like a 1920 gangster.
No, I wouldn't be. I would date my daughter. I can't even do it. Can you do Donald Trump?
I've never tried. I don't ever want to.
No, I've never tried until that exact moment. And I just realized.
China.
You know, I'd be dating my daughter if yeah. Someone, he said something like that. Basically said he wants to nonce his daughter.
Basically.
So many words.
Basically. So, so they get back to the house, to the flat, and they're like, have you not seen your cat? I've not seen your cat in yonks. And he's, Dan's like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But he's off doing his cat thing.
Yeah.
Late that night, Dan is, but Barbara goes into the basement or something, and there's a fridge down there. And he finds
it's a fridge in Herbert's room.
Oh, okay. Bit of fridge.
So they go searching for the cat. They're calling the cat, whose name is Rufus.
Yeah.
Keep calling Rufus, come out. We got the pussy treats. Rufus. cats usually come when you call them. I've always found every instance of having a cat, they kind of just go, unless there's food, like ready and available. Usually they go, fuck off.
I think it depends on the cat. A cat comes. Nearly all the time.
Every cat I've known has been a bit of a knobhead. But yeah, she finds Rufus dead in the fridge, in West's fridge. She screams. Dan comes in. He's fuming. But yeah, he kind of explains that he found the cat dead.
West's explanation is very dodgy. Trash was knocked over, and his head got stuck in a jar.
Oh yeah, and he said he couldn't breathe. And like Dan just accepts it. Goes, oh,
it does happen.
Like, you'd be like, "What is that? Got stuck in a jar? What on earth?"
Yeah. Why would you keep it in the fridge then? Why wouldn't you just say sorry? Like, just don't take the jar off. So he's worried about the smell or something.
Yeah, he kept in the. He was worried about the smell, so he kept it in the fridge so he could tell Dan, like at a later day about like.
I guess all of it's bullshit because we know that he wants like a test subject, but we don't know if he killed the cat, which I think he did. But late that night, I think Barbara's. Someone's upstairs and hears like screaming.
So I think they're asleep, aren't they? They're asleep and they hear like a noise. Right there. So what happens?
I'm pretty sure wake up and Herbert West is...
Wakes up, hears a noise, goes downstairs, and when he gets down there, West is having a scrap with Rufus, who initially, Dan obviously doesn't realise it's Rufus, and I think, what's he think it is? Because he's just like trying to kill it. They're trying to kill it with like a spade and a bat.
Yeah.
And then it's only after he slings it at the wall and basically smashes it, and it almost splits in half, that he realises it's Rufus.
Yeah.
And then obviously then West explains that he's reanimated Rufus using this reanimation serum he's got, which is this bright green. How do you reckon he got it that bright and green?
It's the first instance of them using glow sticks to make glowing materials in film, apparently.
Is it?
Yeah.
No way. No way! I cannot believe that.
Apparently.
That's great.
Yeah, it looks really good. And they have like really big needles, injector things, what we call them. Pipettes.
Yeah.
Whatever they are.
Syringe.
Bastards. Yeah, yeah.
That's a big pipette you got there, mate. Well, you know what you're doing with that.
So, they smash up Rufus again, so he's dead a second time. And then, what's his name? Dan doesn't believe him that the reagent brought him back to life. So he says he can prove it. So he brings him back again, but he's all kind of mashed. And he's like, kill me.
Please kill me. Every moment I'm alive is agony. Yeah, so then they take the findings to the dean, don't they, to basically explain that they're going to do this. But the dean's immediately fuming, and he's like,
poppycock.
You're using my daughter. Megan gets a bit over the top during this whole bit. She gets a bit...
Can't remember.
Intense. She's screaming. She's kind of, let me talk to him. Oh, God, you guys. It's crazy. You're crazy. A lot of that is being thrown around.
Herbert West is going to get expelled again. Dan is going to... do
get
some...
expelled as well. I don't know.
I think he's going to get... I thought he's just going to get like... going to get marked down or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he just says you've gone. Going to get marked down. I think he just says you're going to get barred from the school maybe or something like that. Because the next thing they do is sneak into the morgue in order to... And, you know, Dan doesn't take much convincing here. West, like Herbert West has got a pretty insane plan, which is get a human subject, prove that the reagent works, and then salvage their medical careers. I mean, it's a pretty out there plan.
Yeah,
Dan is in on it. He's like, I've seen you reanimate a cat.
I guess, you know what, I mean, if he's... I mean, I guess if they could prove that it works and it works well, it's like... it's going to change the world. So Dan, like, maybe sees that as an important thing, is excited about it. It's like his, yeah. I don't know, I think I'd be on board. Maybe I'd want to see some better, more reliable tests before I start waking up dead.
Going straight to a dead body as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, Herbert West is pretty, from the get-go, he's like, needs to not been dead for very long, but then they're going to the morgue where, you know, bodies have been dead for a while. Or that day, I don't know. It does seem a bit nuts.
Did he pump him with formaldehyde and stuff? I don't know when they do that in the process.
I can't remember. But yeah, they inject a corpse. They inject like the biggest, like, henchest dude they can find, like a big former American footballer or something, just a massive beast of a bloke. And obviously, initially doesn't wake up and they're kind of counting down, but then they up the dosage by a tiny little bit more. And when he awakes, he's just like crazed, like a crazed, violent zombie.
Yeah.
Madman.
Yeah.
And then, and Dr. Halsey obviously turns up and he's trying to stop them doing whatever they're doing. And he gets quite unceremoniously squashed by a door. He gets just like squashed by a door, and then the zombie just like won't leave him alone. The zombie
doesn't he jumps on the door, doesn't he? The zombie guy.
Yeah, he jumps on the door and just like crushes him. Imagine you were Dr. Halsey, like you'd be is going.
But yeah, he just fingers bitten off as well.
Yeah, so obviously these zombies are like they've got like superhuman strength because they're, I guess.
Well, that was Lou Ferrigno they brought back to life there. I think that was the mistake.
Yeah, Lou, calm down. Oh, I can't.
He kills the Lou Ferrigno zombie by using a bone saw to go right through the back, out through the chest. Yeah. That's how you do it.
Seems like a lot of effort to kill that guy.
Yeah, but then also it kills... I mean, they never learn. Also it kills... it's pretty much Pet Sematary. Also it kills... Yeah. What's it? The Dean... And they're like, we use the reagent.
Well, Dean dies because he gets thrown into the wall, doesn't he, by the zombie? Yeah. Pretty much the same way that Dan threw the cat against the wall in the basement.
Yeah.
The zombie throws the Dean at the wall and basically just obliterates his spine.
He comes back to life, but it's not quite as insane. Like, he's still kind of there.
I think it's because it was so quick. It was like they pretty much did it immediately, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, obviously, he's still insane. He still can't communicate, but he's maybe a little bit more lucid. I don't know. He's not as angry.
But so they were like, they just say, yeah, he went mental. Look at him. He went mental and did all of this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, weirdly, Dr. Hill is like, I think I can fix him. And he just lobotomizes him with like a laser pen or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously, like, Megan stumbles into the scene. I think Dan collapses in shock. When Dan collapses in shock, Herbert, like, has got a blanket ready to go to just wrap around him. Do you remember?
So
Dr. Hill obviously is initially you feel like he's trying to help them, but he's not. He's kind of just... there's a bit earlier when he was talking to the Dean where it almost seemed like he was trying to hypnotize him. He was kind of like talking to him, really.
His it eyes, a bit like how I remember the demon headmaster to look as well.
Yeah,
you remember the demon headmaster?
I do remember the demon headmaster, yeah. And I was pretty terrified of that dude as well.
Yeah.
He looked like John Major.
Yeah, he did. That's weird. I wonder why they casted someone like John Major to be the demon headmaster.
Why should we be terrified of the Prime Minister? Oh, right. It was drummed into us at a young age that we should be terrified of the Prime Minister. I got it.
Yeah. So what's his face? Dr. Hill, when he's experimenting on, when he lobotomizes the Dean, he finds out that he's actually dead, but he's still moving around. So then he knows that.
Yeah. He does some tests on him as well. Then he just to find out that like his back is in bits and <Yeah. laughs> everything's gone wrong inside. Yeah. So he's a dead man.
So from this, he knows that Herbert West has got something. So he goes over to Herbert West's basement and he's like, you've got to show me because I'll get you arrested or something bad will happen. I can't remember. I'm going to steal this formula. It's going to make me famous. Obviously, that's the worst thing to say to Herbert West because his whole thing is that he wants to be the person who brings this to the world.
Yeah, exactly. So pretty much immediately, we realized that Herbert West knows he's got to do something about it.
This was gory as hell, I thought. So hardcore, yeah.
So he hits Dr. Hill in the head, back of the head with a shovel, and then continues to smash the living daylights out of his wad, basically his head off with the.
Yeah, but you see it, like, it's shovel. Not quite going through the back, and he's like, he's grimacing, like, oh, this really hurts. Oh.
Yeah. And then Herbert West has just got. You just can't kill someone and just let it be that. You've got to go, well, I better bring him back to death, bring him back to life. But he reanimates the head and body of Dr. Hill like separately. How would that work with the body, considering?
I don't think he does. I think he just reanimates the head. And for some reason, the head can control the body. Yeah, that's a bit where you've just got to take a leap of faith.
Yeah. I think maybe we're made to think that some of these telepathic abilities that Dr. Hill seems to have somehow.
Oh, I just thought that like he could just control his body. I just thought
But there's a couple of bits. There's a bit where he's talking to the Dean and there's a bit where he's talking to Megan earlier where it seems like he's hypnotizing them because he's kind of, you will do this.
That's true. And when he does
do this,
like when he does go back to the thing in a bit, he does hypnotize the Dean through the window.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Okay.
So maybe that's how he controls the corpses at the end as well.
Well, so Herbert West decapitates him, pops his head on a spike. But then the Dean gets his body to come up and knock. I don't know why he wouldn't kill Herbert West, but he knocks him out. And then he goes back to the Smithsonian University. That's when he hypnotizes the dad through the glass. And these people are constantly oozing like blood out of their mouths for some reason.
Yeah. Seems like that's what happens. Do you want to be reanimated? No. No,
yeah.
Bleeding from everywhere. So then what happens? Wasn't it?
Well, somehow they get Barbara. I can't remember how.
Yeah, I think, they still... kidnaps Barbara, brings him to his... Like, brings him to the morgue. Is it the morgue, isn't it? Where
he goes to the morgue, and the body is wearing, like, the demonstration head thing.
So that's how they get in past the security guard. He's got, like, a little mask on. So you're like, oh, hi, Dr. Hill. And he just goes,
puts him in a tray of blood. And he's like drinking the blood through his neck.
There's one bit where he's in a bag and he gets zipped out of the bag and he goes, where's that air going? Where's that air going? You ain't got no lungs, mate. You ain't got no lungs.
Yeah.
So then they kidnap.
They kidnap Barbara. So they strap her down.
They kidnap Barbara. They use her dad, don't they? They use her dad to kidnap her.
Mm.
And when she arrives, they strap her down, strip her naked. And then obviously a pretty horrible bit where the severed head of Dr. Hill is being used to like molest her.
Yeah.
And he's just about to, is that between her legs when, who turns up?
Dan and Herbert West.
Yeah, right at the best time. But yeah, also, her bottomized dad is in the room with her at this time, just like.
Yeah, he's spaced out. He can control him by this point. But so Herbert, I don't understand. So Herbert West is like, I've got a plan. And then what's his name's like? So have I. I don't know what Herbert West's plan was. Oh, yeah, he was going to overdose him.
I think his plan is also that they're getting Barbara out. Sorry, they're getting Megan out behind him. That was like his plan.
Oh, okay.
I'll distract him. But also, yeah, the overdose is his plan as well. But yeah, then all of the corpses in the morgue all leap up at the same time.
Were you surprised at that point? I thought that was a nice little twist.
I was pretty surprised, yeah.
And then by that point, it goes on full out. As full out as this movie gets. There's zombies. There's like one with like skin hanging off its back, one with a burnt side to him. One's got like loads of tubes sticking out of him. Yeah, there's all sorts of zombies.
I thought they're all pretty scary. And it's like, there's a lot of mist in the room as well around about this point. So it's kind of, it's pretty effective.
Someone drops some powder in it. It's like talcum powder, but it goes all up into a big fog.
It's like some sort of scientific experiment gone awry, isn't it? Like somebody drops a beaker of something.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, not me bloody dust. Not me fog dust.
That's normally how you make superheroes. Like you accidentally smash something, a couple of things together. And then you breathe it in or get it on your attention to the superhero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then what we got? It's a massive scrap.
Yeah, huge scrap between like pretty much everybody.
When they all start trying to get Barbara, whatever in it, Megan, the dean suddenly kind of wakes up again or something. He's like,
yeah, because she goes, it's me, daddy, it's me. If you can hear me in there, help us. Don't let them kill us. So yeah, the dean manages to, he's got like a protective nature and he pushes all the others away. And yeah, but then we do see, then you get ripped apart by the other zombies as well.
He picks up Dr. Hill's head and he like smushes it.
Oh yeah.
Together. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. He's smushing the head and that's pretty good. That's pretty satisfying.
Yeah.
It doesn't do it with ease either. And you feel like it would be pretty tough.
And Dr. Hill seems to be in pain when he's doing it.
He's like,
yeah,
oh!
It's like he's listening to really loud music.
Rocking out, turn it down. And all the other zombies kind of are the same because they've obviously got the telepathic link.
Yeah,
they're all kind of getting headaches as well. Like, oh bloody hell, get me some Nurofen.
So then you are right. They all rip the dean apart.
Like they rip the dean apart. Yeah, so they kind of like step back into the fog, and then suddenly the dean is like a. Like a paper mache body, and they just all like pull it apart. No blood or anything. Just that was pretty good though, I thought.
Yeah, and then so I think he's given the body of Dr. Hill an overdose of the reagent. So his body kind of collapses in on itself, but then the inner parts become animated instead. So like the intestines coil around Herbert West, and you don't know what happens to Herbert West. It's like it's just reeling him in. Into the darkness, and he's like, save yourself and my research. Take that too. My notes.
Take that. Here it is, all my notes in this little satchel, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then he gets the notes. Dan and Megan run away, but not before like this reanimated corpse jumps in the lift with them and strangles Megan. Dan runs like half a mile that way to get an axe.
Yeah.
Comes back, axes the corpse, but then it's too late. Megan's passed out, so they take her to the emergency room. No explanation or anything. No, he doesn't say at one point. There's loads of zombies downstairs. He just says, right, save her. But unfortunately, she does die. In a little callback to the first scene, I guess, where they fail to bring someone back to life.
Yeah. But this time he's got reagent. So he hasn't learned the lesson. I mean, Herbert West, like he's got a problem. Like he's addicted to bringing things back to life.
Yeah, it is very Pet Sematary, isn't it? Where,
oh,
what's the answer to this? Bring it back to life. What's the answer to that? Bring it back to life. What about this? Yeah, bring that back to life as well.
This final one, you kind of make sense because they're in love and whatever. But the rest of them, Herbert West is like, oh, I just stood on this worm. Better bring it back to life.
He's just upset. He's just like power hungry, and he's obsessed with the power it gives him of bringing things back to life. So even if it's like his nemesis, Carl Hill. Or somebody doesn't like, he's like, oh, bring him back to life.
Nemesis Carl.
Hey, Doc Carl again.
Okay. And then it ends, it cuts to black, and you hear her screaming. We don't know if it actually works or not. But the next film's called Bride of Reanimator. So imagining it probably does work.
Just checking. Has it got, I don't know if it has got Megan in it, though. I don't think it does. It's got the same actors as Herbert West and Dan Cain. But I don't think we've got Barbara Crampton in that one. So maybe the bride is somebody else.
Yeah.
Date. The tagline for that is date, mate, reanimate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
So apparently the budget for this was £900,000. Just noticed. Sorry if that's a trivia question.
No, it's not.
Sorry, I just jumped in there, wouldn't I?
It's interesting. It's when was this film? When did it come out? 80s?
1985.
It's about right.
Yeah,
that budget seems a bit low to me. And it does kind of show. But it did a good job. So anyway, some trivia. I'll warm you up with some name game. And then we'll do some hardcore trivia.
Yeah, I failed the name game badly last time. Jesus.
Okay, you got a few opportunities then for this. So my first film pitch for you is, when Herbert West spots a bee on the floor, he fetches it some sugary water. It drinks from the sugary water and comes back to life. What's the film called?
Is it Bee Animator?
It is Bee Animator. Herbie West.
Herbie.
Bee Animator.
Herbie.
Number two. Herbert West is eating a certain type of cheese on a cracker and he thinks this thing just isn't lively enough, so he dabs some sriracha right on top of the French soft cheese to give it some life.
Brie Animator?
Yeah, correct. Okay, this one's a more difficult one. So when Herbert West sleeps in a funny way, he wakes to find his right leg is dead, but only in the middle area. He shoots some reagent into it and the thing comes to life. But again, only in the middle of the leg.
Is it Knee Animator?
That's correct, yeah. I thought that would be a great sequel to Idle Hands. Knee Animator. Yeah.
Just the knee, though. The rest of the leg is human. Just the knee. Is just like the joint is just causing him a lot of bother.
Yeah. Okay, so number four, some proper hardcore trivia. Which rap legend has their own Reanimator book out?
Jesus Christ. Which rap legend? I'm trying to think of someone from the 80s rather than... How about Ice-T? I was going to go for...
So it's Kanye West, Reanimator. It's a book by Joshua Chaplinsky. If you Google it, you'll see exactly what I mean. It's called Kanye West, Reanimator. It's a great cover image.
What on earth? What, how has this happened?
It's not. I don't know. I don't know. But apparently, it's pretty much the exact story, the Lovecraft story, but they've just changed all the references to Kanye West references.
Kanye West has nothing to do with it.
Well, yeah, he's in it and he's on the cover.
He's in it. Yeah, yeah.
And it's called Kanye West. No.
Oh, sounds good though.
Apparently it's pretty decent. Okay, so number five. So the woman Dan is seeing attempting to resuscitate at the beginning of the film, the actress who plays her, was known as a what enthusiast on the set. So she's very enthusiastic about something she got referred to as the something enthusiast. What was it that she was enthusiastic about?
The hospital enthusiast? The zombie enthusiast?
She was known as the dildo enthusiast and was known to hide dildos with the fake corpses in the morgue set.
But why?
Well, because she just liked dildos.
Yeah, but there's lots of things I like and I don't bring them to work every day, you know what I mean? Hide them amongst the amongst the props.
That's maybe she...
bad practice.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she didn't like dildos, but didn't want anyone to know, so she overcompensated. Look at these dildos. I like dildos.
Yeah. Well, do you like dildos or something? No.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's all the trivia. You did very well. You got all five of them right. Nice one. Mm. What we're doing next week? So next week we're going to be doing a horror gaming episode.
Yeah. So I think Andy's going to come on the show. We're going to discuss if we're going to do a countdown list or like a round table or something, but favorite survival horror games. Obviously, it's the week Resident Evil 3 comes out, which is going to be a good chance to discuss this stuff. But yeah, we're going to discuss some some horror gaming, seeing as we probably discuss gaming like almost every week, don't we, on this show, but yeah. Never dedicate an episode to it, so it's going to be good to do that. And after that, if you fancy it, should we do Final Destination?
Yeah, sounds good. I've not seen that in a long time. Also, we need to rate the film.
Yeah, that's the best bit. You know what? I really enjoyed this. A lot more than I kind of thought I was going to. Even though I've heard so many good things about it. I remembered some bits about it, so I knew it was going to be good. But yeah, I really enjoyed this. There were some really great characters. It's like I've seen it described as like a splatterpunk movie, which I think, yeah, kind of is. Reminds me of Brain Dead a bit. But yeah, some of the gore effects were great. Great performances. Soundtrack was good. Very psycho-led. I'd probably give it an A, I reckon, Luke.
Bloody hell.
Let's go as far Re-animator.
Yeah. So it's great. It's the kind of, I also don't feel like enough people have seen it. And when people talk about the horror movie fans, I never really see Re-animator come up on the same sort of list. It's always Evil Dead or Dead Alive. And Re-animator doesn't really show up. And it probably should do. It's up there with those two films. It's definitely not my favourite of those three films, but it's spot on. I'm gonna go with an A minus. A minus.
Yeah, I don't know if it's my favourite of those three films either, but I think it stands up alongside them very easily.
Yeah.
Death Arrow.
Come on, man. Okay, so next week, horror gaming. Week after that, Final Destination. So
yeah. Very nice.
All right.
Let's keep at it.
Hope you enjoyed listening to the show. Become a patron over patreon.com/HawkandCleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, consider giving us a rating and review in iTunes, and remember to hit subscribe. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a right horror dude.
Thank you very much, Luke, for being a reet horror dude.
Reet.
A pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.